And last week we talked about the virgin birth. And without the virgin birth, we have no Savior. As we pointed out last week, that we inherit our sin nature from our father. If Joseph was Jesus' father, then he had a sin nature. Jesus Christ had no sin. I want you guys to be assured, using the Bible, to get assurance of what we know. And you know, there's so much stuff in here we don't understand. There's stuff that I'm going to teach today, hopefully, that I didn't get a full grasp of. But there's knowns that we can deal with. Where is Jesus Christ? He is sitting at the right hand of the Father. We understand that. We know that He's returning one day. We look forward to His imminent return. But if you ask a couple of questions to yourself, you can get assurance. Number one, what causes death? Sin. Sin is what causes death. Sin entered into this world and caused us to die. Did Jesus Christ die a physical death on the cross? Of course He did. Wait a minute, He had no sin. It tells us emphatically that He took on our sin and died on the cross. That, in summation, that's it. Let's all stand and be dismissed. That's it. We know that sin causes death. Jesus had no sin. Therefore, He had to take on my sin. That's the only way He could have died, was take on the sins of the world. So, it's emphatic that we understand that He had no sin nature. He didn't sin. We know that because of the virgin birth. We know that He didn't have the sin nature of His Father, because His Father is God. We can look in another couple of ways of the genealogy of Christ. The Old Testament gives a curse. Jeremiah had spoke for God and said that the king, Jehoiakoniah, was so wicked and so evil that, first of all, God took his name off of him. Jehoah is God, okay? Jehovah, God. So the first part of his name was Jehoiakoniah. God said, you'll no longer be known by that. You'll just be known as Coaniah. So Jeremiah gave the curse of Coaniah. God said, there'll be no more kings to sit on my throne after you. Okay? That's very important, because we can follow the lineage of Joseph back through Coaniah. We talk about it a lot in here, 100% correct on prophecy. If you're not 100% correct, you're not a prophet of God. So if God said there'll be no other kings after Coaniah to sit on my throne, then it can't come through Joseph. If not, the prophecy's wrong. So as we begin to look into the Word of God and see what this is, I know I've made it a personal goal of mine to read my Bible every day. Man, getting started was hard. I've been at it a couple of years now, and it's just something that's just what happens. There's some books of the Bible and parts of the Bible that are just hard to read. I'll tell you what, I got hung up a couple of years ago on 1 Chronicles. Anybody that's with me? And so-and-so begot so, and you can't pronounce their names, so you just keep saying begot, 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 right? And man, you just go, what are we getting to here? You know, where are we going with this? Because the very first word in 1 Chronicles is Adam. Whew, that'll take you back a ways. You ever hear somebody say, well, let me tell you, back when I was a little child, oh my word, how long are we going with this? 1 Chronicles starts with Adam and gives the genealogy all the way down through. And you wonder, Why is that in there? Don't ever forget that every word in here was inspired of God. There's not one word in here that's not supposed to be in here. There's not one word in here that's quote-unquote a mistake. If there's anybody in the crowd that says there's mistakes in the Bible, meet with me after church. I'll buy you lunch and you show me the mistakes in there. I hear it all the time. I've never been shown what the mistakes are. I'll tell you what the mistakes are is us. Amen. It's just us. It's not God. God doesn't make any mistakes. But you have to wonder why some of this stuff just goes on and on like it does. I quit at 2 o'clock this morning. It was that fascinating. I'm just giddy. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for this group that's come to hear your word. Father, I pray that, Lord, as we open your word, that we see you alive and new and refreshed, and Lord, that it just fortifies our soul, Lord, that we're in the right place, Lord, that we're, Lord, serving the right God, Lord, that we're doing the right things, Lord, Lord, as we continue to work for your imminent return, Lord, let you catch us being busy about your work. Lord, thank you for all these who've come out. Lord, bless the lesson. Lord, I pray that your Spirit would teach us. Lord, open our hearts and our minds and allow us to learn. In Christ's name, amen. Turn with me, if you will, in 1 Chronicles. There's a rhyme and reason to all this. As I said before, 1 Chronicles chapter 1 says Adam, Seth, Enoch, Ezra, the scribe, was writing down the lineage of the Jewish people. Now, some interesting things about this, and I've went over this the last several weeks, just this summer, kind of the revelation of, man, I'm not near as smart as I think I am. It doesn't take me very long to talk to too many people and go, wow, I don't know anything. There's a lot smarter men than me that's done things. You understand that our Bible was put together by men, right? God inspired the words. The letters and the books were written down. But somebody took and arranged those 66 books. We understand that, right? You've got the Old Testament and the New Testament. The Old Testament deals with the people. It deals with the Jews. The Jewish Bible, written in Hebrew, is the same Bible that we have, but it's arranged differently. We have the first five books of the Bible that are historic. Okay, it tells about how things began and how things came about. Then we get into some of the poetic books, major prophets, and then the minor prophets, and you wonder why it's all tucked together like that. Now, I think it flows very well, and that's why it's put together in that way. So you get to the minor prophet, Malachi. The only reason he's a minor prophet is he didn't prophesy a whole lot of things. What he said was, there's going to be one coming that prepares the way for the Messiah. He was talking about John the Baptist. So we have the book of Malachi at the very end of the Old Testament. We had 400 silent years where no prophet stood up and said, God told me to do this or do that. 400 silent years, and we get the New Testament. We get the four Gospels, because that's the presentation of Jesus Christ, of Him arriving here for His earthly ministry. We see Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the four accounts of the Gospel. Goes into the acts or actions of the apostles as Christ ascended and they began to infiltrate and appropriate the church. Then we see the Apostle Paul and his letters to different areas. The Bible is arranged very well, that there's a flow and a follow to it. But the Jewish Bible, that's made up of the same contents of our Bible, the Old Testament, written in Hebrew, is arranged differently. It's not arranged like ours is. The last book of the Jewish Bible is Chronicles. There's significance there because Ezra, as he began to write, he chronologized all the patriarchs of the Jews. And he didn't do that necessarily for their lineage, but for the lineage to come. He began to write and list all these out, and it was basically incomplete. The Jews understood that it was incomplete. So we got four Gospels to choose from, all giving different accounts of Jesus Christ, all giving different points of view of Jesus Christ. One is king, one is servant, one is man, one is God. Okay, we're all familiar with that area. But why would they be arranged the way that they're arranged? See, John doesn't start with a babe in a manger. John says, in the beginning was the Word. He said, Jesus has always been. So John's over here at the last. Matthew and Luke give an account of the Christ child. So why are they arranged the way they are? If you look in 1 Chronicles chapter 1 and verse 29, excuse me, when Ezra gets done with the genealogy to Abraham, Abraham is important because Abraham is who God made His covenant with. So all the Jews are going to go right back to Abraham. Hey, God made a covenant with Abraham, and we claim that covenant, okay? So they're going to all follow back to Abraham. But as they move forward, they all go to David. David was their greatest king they ever had. The people said, hey, give us a king. God said, okay, I'll give you the choice. And they said, boy, look at old Saul. Man, he's great, big, handsome, good-looking guy. They looked on the outer side of him and said, that's who we want to be our king. God said, you know what? I'll give you a better king. See that son of Jesse over there, that ruddy little old kid? Not much to look at. I know the inside of him. He's after my own heart. And David was their greatest king ever. So they go from Abraham to David to Jesus Christ. The Jews don't, but that's what God did. So they'll go to Abraham in 1 Chronicles chapter 1. In verse 27, he gets to Abraham. And then he says in verse 28, the sons of Abraham, Isaac and Ishmael, these are the generations, the firstborn of Ishmael. And he begins to go back in and you get the next 8 or 9 chapters of the genealogies of these kids. And each time he says, and these are the generations of this, and these are the generations of this, and these are the generations of this. Look with me, if you will, in Matthew. Matthew chapter 1. Matthew wrote his gospel to the Jews. He presented Jesus Christ as king. That's his presentation. He's presenting it to the Jews that Jesus Christ is their king. So look how Matthew starts his gospel out. He says, the book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Matthew, all it is a continuation or a finished product of 1 Chronicles. His falls right in behind it, and he says, look, where that genealogy left off, it picks up right here because I want you to understand that Jesus Christ follows that line. So Matthew is our first part of the New Testament because it finishes out the Old Testament with Jesus Christ. Now what happened is the Jews rejected Jesus Christ and we got the church age. They didn't see it coming. So we got the church age that we are now in. I believe if you study out Revelation, you'll find that we're in the final days of the church age. We're in the church age of Laodicea. the church age that said, we are rich and in need of nothing. And if you don't think that's the case today, wake up in the morning. That's all I can tell you. But look, at the interesting thing here is, in 1 Chronicles, Ezra says, these are the generations of this. These are the generations of this. These are the generations of this. But look what Matthew wrote. He wrote the book of the generation. Not plural. He said, this is it. See, before, they had generation after generation after generation because men was degenerating. They messed it up, messed it up, messed it up. God would start again. They would mess it up. God would start again. They would mess it up. But when Christ came, what do we have now? We have regeneration. So now there is only one generation. That generation is in Christ Jesus. Look what Matthew said. Remember, he's talking to the Jews. He said, the book of the generation of Jesus Christ. We have arrived. There'll be no more generations. God won't be starting over. This one won't fail because my son's going to do it. Amen? Isn't that cool? Isn't that just cool? So he starts out and he says, look, where the Old Testament left off, Jews, here's where it follows through. And he says, stay with me here. He says, you got Abraham. Adam, can you turn us on? Or do I do that? Ah, there we go. So the genealogy of Jesus Christ, we have two different Gospels giving the renditions thereof. We have Joseph's side in Matthew, and it begins in Matthew 1 and 1. And we go all the way down through there, and you can follow it. You can see who begot who, and who begot who, and who begot who. And you go all the way down through there. If you'll start in Luke 3 and 34, is where he makes mention of Abraham, and then you just back up, because one's going one way, and the other one's going another way. And you'll see what I mean when you look over there in Luke's Gospel. In chapter 34, you get Abraham. So you find Abraham, and you can go straight down. And both of them are identical all the way down. Abraham all the way down to King David, right down here. Both genealogies are the same, of Mary and of Joseph. So one is of the royal line, the royal seed. He had the right to claim the throne of David. That was his side. That was his inheritance, was to get the royal seed of David. Mary's side, however, was the racial side. She was a Jew born of King David. There's no way that they could have a half-breed king that didn't meet up to the qualifications that Jesus Christ did. Now, as we continue to look, this is just going down through there even further. It was so long, I had to put it on three pages. But you go all the way down through here on Joseph's side, and you get down here to Jeconias. That's Koaniah that we talked about. His name is written about three different ways and different spellings. But go to Jeremiah chapter 22, Old Testament. I always rather y'all read it than me tell you about it. Jeremiah chapter 22 and verse 24 says, as I live, saith the Lord, thou Koaniah, the son of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, were the signet upon my right hand, yet would I pluck thee thence. And I will give thee into the hand of them that seek thy life, and into the hand of them whose face thou fearest, even into the hand of Nebuchadnezzar the king of Babylon, and into the hand of the Chaldeans. And I will cast thee out, and thy mother that bare thee, into another country, where ye were not born, and there ye shall die. But to the land whereunto they desire to return, thither shall they not return. Is this man Coanai a despised broken idol? Is he a vessel whereunto is no pleasure? Wherefore are they cast out, he and his seed, and are cast into the land which they are that they know not? O earth, 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 hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, write ye this man childless, a man that shall not prosper in his days, for no man of his seed shall prosper, sitting upon the throne of David and ruling any more in Judah. Coanai was cursed. God said, there'll be no more kings after you set upon my throne. Judah was taken into captivity by King Nebuchadnezzar. They were basically done away with. He had sons, but none of them sat on the throne. His uncle actually sat on the throne when they were in captivity. But what kind of king is that? They were under somebody else's rule. He was just kind of in charge of what they were doing. So it says that he will not sit upon David's throne. So nobody from this side on down could ever sit upon David's throne. Now we spoke a little bit ago about things we know. The Sadducees didn't believe in the resurrection. If you're a Sadducee and don't believe in the resurrection, then there's no way that Jesus Christ can fulfill what the Old Testament Scripture says. There we go with the prophecy again. We're not 100%, so that doesn't work. So Christ had to have rose from the dead. Because in His 33 and a half years here on earth, He never sat on David's throne. He never ruled His people. He came into Jerusalem in that triumphant entry, and they all said, Hosanna, save us now, hail the King. And then that same mob said, crucify Him. We have no king but Caesar. Right? They said, we don't have a king. Pontius Pilate wrote on his accusation, King of the Jews. And the Jews said, that's an insult to us. Take that down. He's not our king. So there has to be a stopping point. And if we continue on, we get all the way down here to Joseph, as Matthew says, as supposed was Jesus' father. In other words, in society, they said, that's the guy. He eventually legally adopted Jesus on the Jewish rolls, but we know emphatically that he was not Jesus' father. He can't be by prophecy. There's no way. Because we understand the only reason Jesus Christ is coming back is to reclaim His world and to rule and to reign. Right? So, if He's going to do that, He can't come through this area right here. He has to come this way over here where you get down to Joseph, which was, this is actually Mary's lineage because he was Heli's son-in-law. That word in the King James, it translates son, but it actually has to mean son-in-law. It could do either or. But we know emphatically that Jacob was Joseph's dad. We know that. So, this is Mary's side. Do you understand how God worked this out? That down through the ages, with Satan trying to break this line, to wipe this line out over here, so that the prophecy couldn't be fulfilled, well, right over here, God was doing His business. And He still had that line going through. It was still working out. As we read, go back over to Matthew, and we'll read some interesting stuff that Matthew wrote down about the genealogy. He says in verse 2 that Abraham begot Isaac, and Isaac begot Jacob, and Jacob begot Judas, and his brethren. And Judas begot Perez and Zerah of Tamar. Tamar was a woman. We continue on down through here, and we see that, look in verse 5. And Solomon begot Boaz of Rachel, and Boaz begot Obed of Ruth. There's two more women mentioned. again, Matthew is speaking to the Jews. Every morning when a Jewish man wakes up and he begins to say his morning prayer to our God, the first thing he does is thank God for not being a Gentile, not being a slave, and not being a woman. That's what a Jew does. That's his first prayer every morning. They thought so little of women that it was just ridiculous. But don't hold a lot of that against them, because we did the same thing here in the United States. Women hadn't had the right to vote very long. Right? I mean, we've done things here that... I'll tell you this much. The 19th Amendment in August of 1929 gave women the right to vote. In Dr. Henderson's lifetime, women got the right to vote. Yet in Jewish life, the women are very, very lowly. The order was, thank you for not making me a Gentile, not making me a slave. Heaven help me not being making me a woman. But Matthew here, as he's speaking to the Jews, mentions four women. These four women were of ill report. Prostitutes, posing as prostitutes, pretty wretched in our eyes, but God shows that even through imperfection, His plan still goes forward. It still works. Look in verse 16. He gets all the way down and says, "And Jacob begot Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called Christ." He quit with all the begots. You see that? He was very careful to do that. He said, you know, that Azar begot Sadduk, and Sadduk begot Achim, and he went all the way down through there, and he got to verse 16, and he said, "The husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus." He made definitely for sure that he didn't say who begot Jesus, because he's trying to prove to the Jews just what we're talking about, that Jesus Christ only comes through this side over here, through Nathan, the son of David. I started to tell you a minute ago, in God's plan, you understand, here's two people down through time that end up joined together. And only these two people could fulfill the coming of the Messiah. It had to be those two people. In all the world, it had to be those two. One had the royal right. The other had the ethnic right. It had to be those two. Because now, he's got the right both ways, but he can't through this side. He finishes up and he says in verse 17, he says, "All the generations from Abraham to David are 14 generations. And from David until the carrying away into Babylon are 14 generations. And from the carrying away unto Babylon unto Christ are 14 generations." The Jews used a memory system. They had a written down law, and then they had an oral law. They were very big on memorization and things that they had to keep in their head so that they wouldn't sin against God. So they did things that would trigger their mind. The Psalms were a great thing that they did. Hooked on phonics was working back then, and it still works today. My wife always says, "How many billions of brain cells do we waste on songs from the 50s, the 60s? Huh? You hear them come on and you sing right along with them. We remember those, right? But you can't tell me what the shortest verse in the Bible is. You know? It just happens. But they developed a memory system that would help them to remember and understand what their lineage was. They took the Hebrew alphabet, and of course it corresponded with numbers, but they used David as their numeric system. So they took the name David, and in the Hebrew alphabet, they don't recognize any of the vowels. They drop the vowels out. If you've ever seen God written or anything like that, you understand that they leave them out. So David would actually be DWD, and the corresponding numbers would be, the D would be a 4, the W would be a 6, and again another 4. So 14 in the Hebrew alphabet is their memorization. Matthew says in verse 17, he says, so all the generations from Abraham to David are 14 generations. And from David to the captivity is 14 generations. And from the captivity until now is 14 generations. So Christ's genealogy is made up of 3 14 generations. Now, you go back and you study it out and you just count them. They're not 14 generations. The perfect number for governmental rule is 12. The 12 tribes of Israel. That's God's number for being perfect in governing rule. They were actually numbered in 13, which is stiff-necked in rebellion. That's what they were. But when God looked upon them, He saw His people being perfect. I'll tell you that if you're born again and you're covered in the blood, God looks at you the exact same way. He looks at us being perfect when we know we're not. But God sees the blood and says, they're perfect. That's my son. That's my daughter. That's how God sees us. And that's how God sees His people. Through the first set of 14, 3 of the kings are wiped off the slate. They're not even around. Adam, I messed it up again as usual. That one right there will show you that. Anyway, I guess I better quit clicking stuff. The 14 generations at the first, 3 of them were wiped out. Actually, the 3 kings were each murdered either by some family member or their cabinet or something, and were very evil in the sight of God, and God just took them away. Just wiped them out. Yet, He still had His perfection in the lineage coming forward. There were a couple of times when they didn't when it doesn't work out to 14, but God sees that it does, and they were able to memorize it. And again, the meaning behind this verse is that's what they did, is they took the memorization from David, come up with that number. Numbers are very important in the Bible, by the way, very very important. It's a real neat study. But what he's told the Jews here, opening up his gospel, is that guy that y'all killed on the cross, I just proved to you that's him. I just proved it by showing you from the Old Testament to the New, and you just follow the lineage down. Whoops, that's him. That's the one prophesied. They didn't want to hear that. They didn't want to hear it when Jesus was alive. But that's what He showed them and told them to do. I told you that Matthew mentions 4 women. Mark gives the genealogy of Christ, doesn't mention any women. Matthew, being the Jew, mentions women in the genealogy of Christ. That's a tough one, y'all. I'm telling you. Like I said, when a Jewish male gets up today, he thanks God that first he's not a Gentile, second he's not a slave, and third, God help me, I'm not a woman. But Matthew mentions 4 women in his genealogy. Look in Genesis chapter 3. Very, very familiar passage of Scripture. Matthew says, Y'all know the Scriptures. I'd tell y'all in here today, you know the Scriptures. Matthew mentions four women in the genealogy of Christ and says, look, it can't be Joseph. It has to be through Mary. It has to be through Mary and Mary alone with God. Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15 says, and I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. Amen? Give me some. Huh? Isn't that just something? And it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Matthew said, it has to come through Mary. God's already told us that it's going to be the seed of a woman, not the seed of man. Amen? You want hallelujah, aren't you? Jesus Christ had to come through Mary, Joseph being his stepfather, to receive the royal right, but the one prophesied that was the coming king was Jesus Christ through the seed of a woman. Let's pray. Lord, thank you again for your word. Father, I pray that it's touched hearts, Lord, that it's fortified our souls, that we could stand up and Lord, we could proclaim Christ Jesus as Lord and Savior. Lord, the King that came and Lord is returning again to claim His world. Lord, I pray that through this time of year when Lord, we have the nativity scenes and Lord, we see the Christ child, Lord, that we would see Him as the magnificent King that we'll see Him when He returns as. Lord, that we would be able to proclaim that. Lord, we'd tell our family members, our loved ones, Lord, that we'd have the courage and strength to stand up and proclaim Jesus to be the King of Kings. Lord, thank you again for your word. In Christ's name, amen.